Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Powering Up podcast. This is a cross-generational, cross-cultural conversation about putting your power to work. I'm your host, Ann Doyle, and the author of Powering Up, How America's Women Achievers Become Leaders. And we are going to have some fun today because we're going to talk about one of everybody's favorite topics. Sometimes we talk about some pretty serious stuff here, which is important too in terms of our lives being powerful in every way. But, you know, this is going to be all about fun because we're going to talk about romance, love, sex, and all the stops along the way. And I have with me this incredible guest, a longtime friend of mine, but Barbara Summers is the author of Next, A Matchmaker's Guide to Finding Mr. Right, Ditching Mr. Wrong, and Everything in Between. And one of the hottest, most sought after matchmakers in Southern California, right?
Well, I definitely would say that, especially when the fact is that since 1986, I've over 430 marriages to my credit.
Wow.
Are running around San Diego having babies and fun and happy, happy, happy.
I'm happy, so, happy. That's happy, what we want,
happy,
right?
Happy couples, yes. Thank you so much for having me today.
And as we get into this, it's going to be a really fun conversation. I want to just set the stage a little bit about by telling you a little bit more about Barbara Summers, and then you're going to fill in, obviously. But, you know, since launching her professional matchmaking business, which is called, what do you call your matchmaking business?
You know, I make it stupid simple, BarbaraMatchmaker.com.
There
it's
you go.
Pretty easy.
Okay, so the people can find you that way.
Yes.
But as she said, match many, many, many couples. But Barbara also works as a relationship coach and leads seminars and workshops all over the place. I know at Canyon Ranch, all kind of spas. I mean,
spas.
Standing room only, right? Because
yes.
Women want to talk about this topic. And you know, we love having men in this conversation, but the truth is that primarily it's women listening to this podcast and who really want to talk in detail.
Right.
About
right.
all this. So just start us out, Barbara. I mean, tell us a little bit more about, I mean, your story is fascinating, and we'll talk about how you and I first met each other. But some of the highlights about that have brought you to this place of what you bring to this work.
Well, matchmaking has always been a passion of mine. I started actually with my brother, you know, back in the day, his wife to this day, they're married, thank God, they're just so happily married. But I started off putting him with a woman he called at the time geographically undesirable. I fought like crazy to make sure that he would drive the hour of which it took to go see her. And as a result of that, they are now married like almost 40 years to their credit. But I always had a passion for putting people together. And I started off thinking to myself, what would I really want to call my business? And I started off calling it Healthy Professional Singles because at the time I was in a gym in San Diego and I thought, these are attractive people that are professional, that are not going to the bars, they're not meeting people, they're really just going home to their regular lives. So I started off advertising myself as a matchmaker and got my first 200 clients, which then, at the time, I charged like $50 to sign a little card and give me a little information about themselves, which now, obviously, I charge
a lot.
We won't talk about that. But the point is I started putting people together, and then that just escalated. And then one thing led to another. I had a big office with people working for me, and then I decided to write the book because I was so tired of listening to different situations where people felt stuck. I was always talking to women as well as men that always felt they could never move on in a relationship and how to actually escalate where they needed to be. So I, you know, wrote the book, had so much fun with that. And then I've been traveling, doing seminars. But my passion for listening to couples and listening to people and wanting people to really know that there is that someone out there for them and that we don't really have to settle in life. We know how to put ourselves where we need to be.
And take us back a little bit, because I know that I like your point about you don't have to settle in life, but sometimes we make mistakes along the way.
Mistakes.
Or we find the wrong person or whatever, and you bring some experience of that.
Oh, yes. It's like the cobbler that can't find shoes for his children. I'm the matchmaker that's had all the husbands. And that's probably what promoted my idea of writing this book, because many times I would be in situations where the woman who'd been married to the man 35, 40 years would be, in her mind, escalated above the woman who said, well, and they would whisper, well, I've been married 3 times, or I've been married 4 times. I'm sorry, but that doesn't make you better or worse. You made decisions. You had to move on. You felt like you couldn't be stuck. You wouldn't settle. And obviously,
you told me you don't like the word divorce. You've been divorced, right?
No. Yes, darling, many times. The word divorce.
How many?
Oh, over. I'm like one of those, you know, that song that goes over and over and over again. That'd be me. So, and they say, well, don't you fault yourself? No.
Yeah.
I made good decisions at that point. Did I see red flags? And we talked about that.
We're going to. More.
Yes, of course. But the thing is, I knew how. And I find that women who know how to be in love, that knew how to take some risks, that know how to be in a relationship, basically, you know how to live that life. And so it doesn't make you wrong. It means that happened then, and you had to make a decision. Things change. You move on. Things dissipate. You have to make a decision to say, I cannot stay in this relationship anymore. Things have changed.
So whether it's a marriage or you've been in it a year or whatever, let's talk about that. Because I think a lot of the people listening to this podcast are millennials.
Of course,
that's who's listening to a lot of podcasts right now. And so our millennials, our
leading edge
millennials are, you know, mid-30s and everything.
Right.
And into their 20s, just graduating from college. So really in the prime of making important decisions about romance in their lives. So
what do they need to do to make sure they don't make some of the mistakes, obviously, we've made in our generation? And obviously mistakes are going to be made. But if you can be true to yourself and realize what it takes to be in your life. I'm listening to younger women that say, I tease about the TDHs in my book.
They're the TDHs, what's that?
Tall, dark, handsomes. We are suckers as women for the TDHs.
Mm-hmm.
The guy with the great looking physique, the dark hair, the blue eyes, whatever it takes to be obviously attracted by looks. And we will sell out as women on what we know is true to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, you know, you don't want a person who drinks a lot. You want a person who is intelligent, a person that's good with children or good with families or wants to have whatever your desire is for yourself.
Mm-hmm. You need to be clear about that.
You need to be clear
first.
About that. And I can tell you so many times where I've talked to younger women that found themselves captured by a man based on...
Kind of infatuated
Great. I'm sorry, but great in bed. The guy gets a girl in bed. I'm sorry, 2 dates later, she's in love. She doesn't know why she's in love. She's in love with somebody who could lay down with 6-pack abs, and he's great in bed, and now she's hooked. And and none of the reasons that she really thought she would be or what she wanted for herself in that relationship are even true to fact.
Yeah.
And now she marries him, and she finds out, well, let's see now. We went to dinner, and, you know, honey, here's the keys. I drank too much. Okay, well, honey, here's the keys. I drank too much. Becomes the guy that drinks too much. It becomes the guy that she's no longer wanting to be with down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these little things affect how you actually stay with a person. And not noticing what's going on because you're so, you know, in the cloud, so to speak, with other things that are really not that important moving forward.
Well, let's go back, because one of the things that I love about your book, and I mean, I laughed my way, I mean, you'll laugh and cry your way through this book.
Well, that was the idea. The idea is to be crazy and be simple, but then to be practical.
And that's
practical
who
advice.
You are, you know,
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, fun and all that kind of thing, a little bit crazy, but real core grounded in some real practical advice. And the book is called Next, A Matchmaker's Guide to Finding Mr. Right, Ditching Mr. Wrong, and Everything in Between. I mean, I love the topic.
Oh.
But what's great about it is that, you know, your chapters, you take it right from the beginning all the way through. You know, I mean, your first one about, and we're going to talk about these, there's always someone for everyone, okay? And then getting ready for love. And then the list, creating your dream match. I mean, you're starting with you. Start with yourself instead of starting with the man you run into or start out on dates with, and you work it all the way through. So let's go back there.
Okay.
And I think you started touching on this in terms of
starting with yourself.
Starting with yourself because
you have to evaluate where you are in life. Okay, if you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, I need to lose 20 pounds, or I need to get my house in order, or I need to figure out. I had a girl that came in and she said, well, I've got 13 dogs. I said,
what?
13 dogs. I said, well, that must take a lot of your time.
Find me a man who likes dogs.
13. I can find you a man maybe likes five. I don't know about 13, honey. But it's like, okay, she had all this going on. Her life was a circus. And I said, wait a minute. Let's just take this. Mm-hmm. You have all these different areas of your life that you're trying to figure out. How is it possible for some man to come into your life when you haven't even figured out your life?
So start with yourself.
Start cleaning out your life. Start mm-hmm. taking a really good evaluation. I took that particular client. I said, how many of these, and I know you and I both, Anne,
we love dogs.
We both have dogs. My daughter has, like, animals are true. But she kept taking in everybody's, like, rescue dogs. And
maybe instead of taking a relationship in her life. Okay. A little safer.
So we said, let's find homes, which I helped her. I helped her find homes for some of these dogs. I went through her house. We worked on a nutritional program. We got her getting yourself ready for love. I have that in the chapter.
Yeah.
Prepare yourself. You have to really love yourself first before you're capable of loving anyone else. Somebody say, well, wait a minute. She loved all those dogs. Well, she did, but that was maybe taking place of the right. loneliness and the need to nurture someone in her life. So
then the list. I love that. Then okay, get yourself together.
Get yourself together.
Tell us about the list.
Okay, now it's easy. We have the haves, the have-nots, and the musts and the must-haves. Okay, so your list can be really long. I've had people come in where their list is ridiculous. I said, let's cut that. But the mm-hmm. things that you must have that are true to who you are. Mm-hmm. All right, I must have. Many times, the girls, I must have a man that's spiritual. I must have a man that right. is, that she's a single mom. These young girls who now have two children.
Yeah.
He's got to be good with children, good with my children. He's got to be somebody who's active, physically active. I don't want a couch potato. I want a guy that's sitting around watching television
all the time. These are the essentials.
Essentials.
Be clear about those.
Financially, and this is a good one. Not so much makes a lot of money, but very defined. Someone who has found a profession that they are excited, happy to be in, and are going to stay in. The truth of the matter is you get to a point where if a man is at 40 and he's still fluctuating with who he wants to be when he grows up, the chances of that man from
That's
40
a red
to 50,
flag.
Red flag. He's going to be somebody else at 45, somebody else at 50, uh-huh. and she's going to be constantly worrying. Not to say that women don't make, we love women make their own money. Women enjoy being strong financially themselves.
But you don't want to be carrying your partner.
Lord knows. And I've done it. Yeah. I didn't see a flag.
I've done it.
I've seen there was a neon
don't
sign.
Don't do it.
It wasn't a flag in my case. It was a neon sign flashing where I couldn't even see to get through it. So it was
Because he was tall, dark, and handsome.
He was a TDH, you know, those guys. I hate to say it, but the guys that are great in bed, for some reason, you throw the towel in. You just go, okay, I'm
okay,
ready.
Okay, get back to the...
Okay, sorry. But you girls know what I mean.
You were talking about you got to haves, and then there's sort of the maybe haves.
Some of the thing is, okay, kind of neat. I want, you know, like, I'm a pretty neat person, so the guy has got to be neat. Okay, well, maybe if he throws his underwear on the floor, I could pick that up. Or maybe he can pick it up. Yeah, maybe he could pick it up. But maybe I could...
I don't pick up underwear.
No, but maybe he could sacrifice, you know, some little things.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, you have a thing where sometimes it's he has to own his own home. You know, that was a big one. I had women say he has to own his own home. It shows the fact that he's known how to save money. He knows how to qualify. He's got stability. Sometimes it would be, I'd like a man who has grown children, or he has children, or he wants to have children.
Wants to have children. Right.
Now,
be clear about those things.
Be clear. Because I personally was in a relationship where I married someone younger than me, who I had a grown daughter at the time, swore he never wanted to have any children, great relationship I was in, actually, my Cuban chiropractor, you know, 9 years younger than me. But after we were married for like 5 years, I was in my early 40s, he said, you are fit, you're great, I want to have a child. I decided I want to have children.
Yeah.
I said, you want to have children? 6 years you didn't want. And all of a sudden, I had to make a decision. Do I want to have a child at 42 years old when I have a daughter that's, you know, in her 20s?
Right.
And no, I did not. So we parted really great friends. We went to Europe for a month. We celebrated him moving on. Mm-hmm. As I say, we didn't get divorced because I don't believe in that word. I believe in the word release. We released each other to another life. He needed a better life for himself. He needed to marry the girl that would give him the children. And I needed to start over because we are good friends to this day. He now has two sons. He has a 13-year-old and a 9-year-old. And he's married. And we're great friends. But at that point, I had to make a very strong decision. Did I want to be a mother of a 10-year-old at, you know, at 52?
And so there's no bitterness there.
No, I mean,
bitterness. There wasn't anger at him about changing, even though he told you maybe that's what he thought about himself 6 years before.
It all changed. He saw
people do change.
They do change.
And there doesn't need to be bitterness about that. I mean, I love your point about release.
You have to you know what? And if you notice, even all my relationships, you know, most of the time when you release someone, you're actually setting them free to a better life that's going to be better for both of you.
And it's releasing yourself, too. Releasing yourself from something that isn't right for you anymore.
And that's what I find to be so true. The younger women, God love them, because even so, they'll get caught up. I'll even talk to a 30-year-old girl who's been with the same gentleman since she was 24. Mm-hmm. 6 years, maybe met him in college. They're still together. They've moved in. They're not still talking about getting married. This man has real big issues with commitment. I see that a lot with the younger men. They're always looking for the white horse. They're always looking for the girl that's got the better body, that's making more money, that's smarter. And so I always say in the book, actually, I say, after a year and a half, if you're not engaged or living with someone, it's not going to happen. And I can show you the facts on that.
Where are you in terms, I mean, do you think people need to get married, or you're just talking about whether there's just a commitment.
It doesn't have to be marriage, but I'm a big fan of marriage because I keep doing it over and over again. Everybody wants to marry me. I've not necessarily wanted to marry them all, but they wanted to marry me. So, you know, it's like, okay, let's just
jump
in.
But it's about commitment.
About commitment. Somebody who knows how to make a commitment. And this younger generation, which I find with the men especially, there's so many choices. They'll get involved with a woman, and the girl's 3 years later showing me she doesn't have a ring, she doesn't have a commitment. It doesn't have to be necessarily an engagement ring. It could be a commitment ring. It could be a ring of significance that shows that he has made.
Why is a ring so important?
I think a ring is important. I truly believe in rings.
Is it a symbol, or is it a what?
It's a symbol that you belong, your heart belongs to another heart.
Oh.
Your heart is connected to another person, and that you have thought this out, and that this is someone.
And that you're saying that to the world.
And you're saying this to the world, that you're not going to be flirting. You're not going to be taken by somebody else.
Should men wear the ring, too?
Oh, men, are they terrible or what?
But, you know, Prince Harry, you know how we've got the,
Meghan Markle
and Prince Harry.
God love her. He's wearing
a ring. Which is sort of different from the, you know, what's always happened before. This is another change.
Because he's very proud of his woman and what they signify being together.
Right.
And that is a great. Because
so you're thinking that's important for men too.
I think men should definitely wear rings. Yes. Mm-hmm. They'll say, oh, well, I play golf, or I worked out, or I don't have it on. Well, that's fine. Put it back on when you're done with those things. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it's not only a signal to the other person,
it's a signal to the world. It's a signal
that your heart belongs to someone else.
You know, you walk in, because predominantly I used to go into, like, looking for people in my matchmaking business, because I'm out looking in health clubs, I'm looking in the bar, I'm looking anywhere.
Yeah, look at the ring for the hand
first. I walk
around
in Whole Foods. You know, I always say the best people to look for people are at Whole Foods.
This is where you find clients?
Between 4 and 6 on a Sunday at Whole Foods, all the single men are in Whole Foods, at least in California.
Do you hear that, everybody?
Yeah, go to Whole Foods.
We have Whole Foods
grocery
everywhere.
Stores. No, they are in there, and they're walking around. And
if they can cook for themselves or shop for themselves, that's
like
a positive thing, right?
And they like healthy food. They already got the first three things going for themselves. Physically fit, eats healthy, doesn't
and can maintain his own body himself.
And that's the other thing.
Without a woman to take care of him, like a baby.
And the thing is, especially, I think, more so, you have to teach, because the younger generation are caught up so much in the technology that they don't verbalize, I don't believe, as much as maybe our generation did. So I tell the women, you know what? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You've got nothing to lose. If you see a handsome man and you're a single girl and you're in a grocery store, what have you have to lose? That great-looking guy or somebody you're attracted to walks out the door and goes back to his car. You've got nothing to lose if you don't go up to him.
And say what?
Well, it's easy. He could be buying cucumbers. He could be buying broccoli. You could go up and just say, I noticed you don't have a ring, and I'm just wondering if you're... No.
Are you serious?
No, seriously, Ann. What's the worst
thing? I noticed you don't have a ring.
No.
And broccoli? So do I.
Well, you could say, you could come up with
anything. Barbara can talk to anyone. Can you tell that?
You could go up and say, I really think, I love your haircut. And the guy's, what is he going to say? Oh, thanks a lot. No thanks. He's going to say, well, thank you very much. And then it could be a little motion on the woman's part. But unless you try, it's all about getting out there. I can prove in so many situations where the girl gave a man a compliment. He's not married. Next thing he knows, well, are you married? The conversation started off in the cereal department. Who knows? And they got a date. It's very simple.
So I hear you sort of saying
you have to be
that
aggressive.
Don't wait to be invited.
Don't wait. Women, here's the philosophy, and it's a true fact. Women start relationships and women end them. And here's the thing. People say, no, no, no. Barbara, my husband, and this could be a young person, a young lady listening to me. She's in her mid-30s. My husband left me for another woman. No, your husband did not leave you for another woman. Let me tell you what. Your relationship was dead a long time ago. And they say, wow, why do you say that? I say that because...
You always blame the woman?
I don't blame the woman. It takes two people. But somewhere along the line, something... misfired. We talked today about my own family, my own mother and father. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can say my dad ran off with my mom's.
You did say
okay,
that.
Okay, I did. But what I didn't say is my mother got caught up very much in the Jehovah's Witness religion. She got caught up in that, and she was going to church every night of the week, every morning, and she was never home. My father, 6'4", tall, dark, handsome, another TDH. Got a little attention from another woman, out the door.
Mm-hmm. After the blonde bombshell.
After the blonde bombshell invited him in. I'm not saying it was my mother's fault, but I'm saying that my mother disconnected at that moment to connect with him and be the things that he'd originally was involved with my mom, spending time with him.
So let's go back to that connection. I'm still in the food aisle with you.
You
walking
gotta connect.
Up with
the, no, there is no.
I'm still there going, really? I'm going to walk up
I don't
to
care,
that.
I don't care if it's a I don't care if it's a grocery store. I don't care if it's a bar. Here's what kills me about women in general. I don't care if you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. You want to go out. You're single. You want to meet somebody. And all the girls go, okay, it's Thursday night. Let's all go out, right? So not normally, but probably most of the time, most of my friends, they'll go out and they'll get a new outfit. They'll go get their hair washed and blown dry. They're going to spend, Lord knows, we know how much fun it is to put makeup on, to get ready to go out to think, maybe I might meet that guy.
I will be attractive enough that he will
come over to me. Right. Okay. So now you spend all this time getting ready. You go into what they call, the single scene. In San Diego, we'd go to Kachina's, or we'd go, any place downtown, Gaslamp District. So now you're out. All right, you're sitting with your girlfriends. There's a group of guys across the way. You're just looking. Hello, there's a great-looking guy over there that you're attracted. He's looked
so
up.
So what would you do, or what do you advise them to do?
You're going to stay there with that eye contact. I show women how to do this.
You're
going to find, yes, you're going to find a guy over there, and you're going to look down, and you're going to look up, and you're going to look down, and you're going to look up. And with those eyes, believe it or not, that guy is going to be trotting over to you in 5 seconds. The eye contact thing works every time. Now, you're going to have to go through your list really fast. And you got a 5-minute window there to say, okay, first of all,
which one?
Are you involved in a relationship?
Mm.
You don't have to say, are you married? Are you involved in a relationship?
You want them to ask that immediately. Before, hey, would you like a beer?
No. We don't want a beer with somebody who's in a relationship. We cut your losses quick. You need to
say
that.
So either he tells you the truth or he lies.
Or he lies.
But if he lies, you'll find that out pretty quickly.
You'll find that out. But
right away.
If you're looking for love, time, you don't have time. Make every moment count. You've spent an hour and a half getting ready to go in this place. Do you think you really want to go home and wash your makeup off and get ready for bed and go, well, that was another night. Well, I didn't meet anybody. You're going to meet that person. If you put that in your mind that you are going to meet someone and you're going to find someone, you will find that person. It is a known fact. You've got to put the energy out. It starts with you. It carries through. And that I can prove that every time.
All right,
I'm going to take you out some night.
Oh, my gosh, I'm afraid of this. Okay, she's still trying to match me up. I'm a whole different generation. Okay, no. I'm a baby boomer, but we're really talking, we'll talk separately, but we're talking to young women now.
Young women, yes, they should listen. And we talked about,
you know, at Whole Foods, you know, when you're out shopping, it's 4 to 6 o'clock on a Sunday night. Okay, there's that. Then there's the whole situation with the bars. We've given us
absolutely
that and the icon today. I love it. Okay.
The gems.
But another one that's really important right now that our generation did not do is this whole Tinder thing and the whole swipe thing. You know, all this online.
The online dating.
Online dating. Yeah. What's your advice about this? Because this is a very important part of how everybody, but young people in particular, much more comfortable with it than I am. Talk to us about that.
Okay.
Any guidance on, you know,
a lot of guidance.
You're swiping, and they're looking for the tall, dark, handsome there too.
A lot of guidance. Here's the thing. I would say that should be your last resort. Online dating should be your absolute last resort, basically, because it's at least a lie. Online dating is at least a lie. It gives you the opportunity to lie from your age, to being married, to how many children you
have,
how much
you
make. To
which photo
you
put up there,
everything. Now, you're praying that
the guy. So you are not a fan of that.
I am not a fan.
That's a big piece of it.
Oh, I'm not a fan at all. But
okay.
But there are great stories where you actually found that person. The people were true to who they really were. And there are those situations. But there are a lot of other situations that are not. And, I mean, there's a lot of war stories out there. But the online dating, you have got to be safe with yourself. That is the issue I speak to the younger women on.
Yeah.
Don't be so crazy foolish to get wrapped up in his looks and he makes $500,000 a year and he can't wait to take on your 5 children that you had in your early 20s. Whatever it is that he's coming across saying what you want to hear, don't be so ridiculous that you make some bad mistakes. Like he knows where you live, he knows where you work, he knows what kind of car you drive. You've got to really take precautionary measures. And I hope all the girls listening to me understand this. It is today with identity theft and everything that's going on, there are a lot of variables to be concerned about. So you're going to keep yourself in a daytime environment. Maybe it's a breakfast. Maybe it's
a lunch. You always say meet the first time, what, at breakfast or lunch?
Breakfast
and
or
you
lunch.
Told me one, and
not
it's in
night.
The book, about you have step by step by step. Give us that one.
No, the first date should be very casual, like breakfast or lunch, something where you're getting to know them and you're not getting out any really personal information. You're going to be really careful with your words. You're going to get more where you're finding out, where do you work? You want to know where they work, where they live. You can get that out on a really easy conversation. You live in West Bloomfield, I'm here in Detroit, or you live in Rancho Santa Fe, San Diego, and what do you do? Well, I work for myself. These vague answers don't work. You want to know, and you actually, if girls do their homework. If he says, I work for ABC company,
Google him. I mean,
you're going to Google, you're going to call.
Beforehand,
and you're going to call that company. No, he doesn't work there. If you do the right things, you're going to find out very quickly if that person truly is who they are or who they are not.
So you're saying in the very first date.
Very first date. Do not waste any time.
Breakfast or lunch, very casual. Don't dress up.
Oh, absolutely don't dress up. Just dress down.
Dress down on the first one, right?
Absolutely. Dress down.
Right.
Don't shoot your best shot. I always say when these couples meet in a gym, it couldn't get any better. You are at your absolute worst. You're sweaty, you're in your workout clothes, that's it. You got nowhere to go but up.
Right.
So there it is. You're already in that comfort zone.
So
of who
next
you are.
Step. Okay, so let's say the first one you did that.
And next one. Now you're gonna go out. I still am not a big fan of them knowing where you live. I believe in the 3-date rule. Mm-hmm. It takes 3 actual dates to get really clear on the person that's in your life. And I believe in an evening date.
Providing you're asking the right questions.
Right questions. And you're not just, oh, well, that's right. Oh, you like to play basketball. Oh, that's great. You know, this little la-di-da conversations. No. Dinner is great, but I still do not recommend someone picking you up. I want you to drive your own car, and I want you to be able to drive your own car home. It takes three dates to really get the feel. But if you've asked the right questions, let's say these three dates occurred within like a two-week period or something like that, you've at least invested probably, hopefully, 6 hours of actual conversations and time where you're starting to build a platform for who they are, and you can check on things and feel pretty
safe about who they are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I've got a story where a girl met someone online. He said he was a professional basketball player in L.A., and they dated. Next thing you know, he's breaking through her house. She tried to break up with him for just some simple reason, and she had restraining orders. She was frightened for her life. He was not anything she thought he was. Because he was 6'8", she really believed these crazy stories.
Right.
So I'm really talking to women on the sense of, be safe with yourself, really do your homework, pay attention, and ask the right questions. You know, just don't say, oh, do you like this sushi? Well, where do you like to go to eat? That's all great and fine and dandy. But get some direct questions out there.
So you're talking about not wasting time, and I think
you
don't do dinner until the third date.
Do not dress up until the third date, girls. Save your makeup for later. You don't need it. It's all right. You know, it's kind of the other way where the girl, you know, overstuffs herself. You know, she's putting on the big, you know, the big boobs, and she's putting all the eyelashes on, and she's got, you know, well, great and dandy, but sooner or later your clothes are going to come off. And I have that.
And when do the clothes come off?
When you feel safe enough that they should come off, and that person puts you in that environment where, all right, do you say, well, I'm not, Barbara, you're ridiculous. This is the younger generation. You're not going to wait till you're in a relationship to have sex with somebody.
This is friends with benefits. This is the first night, and this is the whole thing.
This is it.
Hooking up.
This generation, they love love. They're in love with love. And, you know, I'm not saying you have to think that this is the person to have sex with that person, but you have to really feel like this is someone that you're giving your body to somebody. You're vulnerable. You're taking it all off. And is this somebody that you're going to say, would you take a risk that the next morning he says to you, well, it's been nice, you know, thanks a lot, but, you know, obviously you weren't too great in bed, or whatever he decides to think about to move on in his life. Can you take that kind of risk? Be a woman that says, I'm not taking that kind of risk. I'm not there yet. And no matter what happens with him on his side, where he's coming on to you, men are going to come on. You got to put your brakes on. You got to be able to push the pedal to the floor in your mind and say, this is not going to happen. The right situation, those thoughts don't ever occur. Mm-hmm. If you're really falling in love, and that falling in love feeling, and you feel like it's a safe environment, you're going to, you know, I was teased because Robert and I, my husband, did you notice I said my husband now? 13 dates we had before I even thought about sleeping with
him.
Really? And we went on a trip. It was kind of cute because we decided to go to Nashville for a business thing. And
13 dates.
We say took 13. But, you know, it doesn't matter if you're younger or older. It's nice. It's becoming friends. I want to tell women, make sure that person is your friend. He wants to be your best friend. That guy is going to be your friend first. Your lover second, not your lover first, your friend second. Get your titles in order.
I love that. You know, we can go on and on. I mean, we could talk for another hour easily, and we don't have a lot of time left.
Oh my goodness!
But a couple things I want to cover.
All right.
Number one, I want to talk about the fact that Barbara and I first met each other a few decades back when I was a TV sports reporter for CBS Detroit covering the Detroit Tigers, and Barbara was married to a pretty famous Detroit Tiger here, Champ Summers. And I did a whole series on Tiger Wives.
That was fabulous.
And I chose five women, but Barbara was one of the first that when I was kind of looking at the Tiger Wives, and I thought, I definitely want to get to know that woman right there. And it was an awful lot of fun to get to know you.
It's a memory that I will cherish forever. We have it on tape. We have everything. But, you know, it was a great...
I'm going to post that on my YouTube channel.
I think I would love seeing that.
It's Ann Doyle Leader is the YouTube channel.
And the background music that you chose for that particular time, a window of our lives, was Landslides.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have been a better theme because...
Right.
It was an insight to what baseball players' lives actually looked like. And I think the fans as well as people just wondering, what do they do all day? What do these women do? And you ask some really great questions back then. And it was, do you just hang out at the ballpark or do you have an idea of what you're going to do with yourself separate from your husband? And then sex came up, you know, and we talked a lot about road trips.
We could go on about that.
That could be another segment.
We should do another segment, definitely. One of the things that's fascinating to me, and a big piece of your work today, I mean, you have gone through an evolution as a matchmaker, and you talked about how you started out, and you're not charging $50 anymore, people. This is big time. But the interesting thing about it is that your clients now are the men.
Men.
That you decided, instead of women, your clients are the men. They're the ones who pay the big money for you to find the right woman for them. Talk about why you made that decision.
Well, you know, the truth is I represented women and men for many, many years, probably 20 years. And I decided that it was easier for me to, well, I wrote the book too. So I was very involved with working with women as far as speaking to women. But then I decided it would be easier to represent men because I wanted to get an idea of what men's true lives look like from my perspective. So I think we talked about this the other day. I'm unusual in the sense that when a man hires me to represent him, I personally go to his home. I want to see what his house looks like. I want to see what his refrigerator looks like. I want to see what
his
bedroom
looks like.
You open
up the refrigerator?
I go to his bedroom. I open up his drawers. Oh, my God. I want to meet the kids. If he's a single dad, I want to meet his children. I want to see what this lifestyle looks like for the woman.
Are men now, surprised at this when you tell them you're going to?
Well, I had one just recently that said, wait a minute, my house isn't ready yet. You come in about a couple months, Barbara. But this gives me, I mean, his car could be totally, I mean, a mess. He could have five cars in the garage. He could have seven dogs. He could have, I told you the time that I saw the guy with a parrot cage in the backyard that didn't even have parrots in it. I said, we got to get rid of this cage. But it's easier for me when I'm working with the men to see what their lives like, to now go out and look for the women. And people say, well, how do you find the women, Barbara? I get asked that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Easy. Health food, stores,
gyms, working out,
a Chanel counter, Neiman Marcus, you know, Nordstrom's. Anywhere I am that I see a woman or I see her in an air.
If she doesn't have a ring on.
She doesn't have a ring on. There you go, women. Remember the ring. The ring is a significant. That means you're off the market. You're not putting yourself out there. You're in love with someone else.
Mm-hmm. My heart belongs
to someone else.
I love that.
And that's the key. So, no, but men have been wonderful. And I only take probably, I think last year I took 23 men that I represented. That's all I wanted to represent. And just fine-tuning who they are and finding the right fit for the woman that I think looks great in their lifestyle, and vice versa. It's not about the man. It's about the woman's lifestyle matches his
lifestyle.
And that's the number one key to a good relationship. Lifestyles. It's more important than anything. The lifestyles don't match, nothing's going to match. And I can think of so many circumstances where they tried to make it work, and it's never going to work. It's going to be a
fight. So that whole thing about opposites attract, you don't believe in that. They might attract, doesn't mean they live together.
They have some kind of, they're going to conform to some way with each other where it makes it an easy way of living.
Mm-hmm.
So opposites do attract in the sense, people say, well, what is it that you want from a partner? Okay, what you want from a partner, if you're a single woman or single man, whatever it is, but you want something that you cannot give yourself. All right, for instance, in my relationship, I am so not organized with business and math and where I'm married to a CPA who's excellent at handling things that I
don't want to handle.
I can do it. Not to say women can't do the things that they don't like to do, but I don't. It's not my forte.
Do it. Uh-huh.
No. And he's behind the scenes. you know, I'm in front, he's behind. It's kind of like we've got it. We've got it all covered now. I've got the piece of the puzzle that I didn't have before. So that works.
Two more things. One is we are operating in this Me Too era right now. What are your thoughts about that in terms of any, advice for young women, particularly who are, have situations come up with men that are maybe inappropriate?
I'm grateful that it's come to the forefront now, that we are finally recognizing and standing up for who we are and what we will take and not take and what we deserve for ourselves in the workplace. So The thing is, this has been going on forever where women were succumbing.
Absolutely.
They were throwing in the towel. They thought this was the only way they were ever going to excel would be to have, flirt with the boss, have sex with the boss, run off with
the Hollywood casting couch. They've been talking about that forever, but it's in all professions.
It's all coming out now. That you had to do something that you were not true to yourself with.
Or not say anything to inappropriate stuff.
You would lose your job. Right. And you were perhaps, you needed your money. This was your livelihood, just to pay your bills.
People were shocked at Matt Lauer. Women working in that television.
That was truly a shock. I think that man. But
it happens.
It happens.
So
women,
be prepared for it. Don't be surprised.
But also, be understanding of yourself when it comes to what you put out there as a woman when you dress. No, you say, I like to dress this way. But realize that there are going to be some residual effects that happen if you make bad choices with yourself in the sense of how you're going to come across. And be ready to defend your position at all times. So women, we love being a woman. We love being feminine. We like that. Like we talked the other day, the trends today are fabulous. When we were younger, short skirts only. You couldn't wear. Now everything goes. So for a woman, they've got such capabilities of being anything they want. Mm-hmm. They can be in the business suit. They can be in the short skirt with the high heels.
You can signal what you're interested in at that moment, like a business suit during the day, and you're not flirting at that moment, right? You're working. But
you can pick your moment and time to be appropriate and inappropriate and know what to do with yourself. And not lose sense of respect. Respect is your biggest thing. Mm-hmm. When you lose respect for yourself, you're going to throw it out there. You're going to put it out there, and it's going to come.
You're going to give it out there, and don't give it.
And it's going to come back to you every time. Yeah. Every time. It is.
Well, this has been so much fun
talk
to you. We could go on and on. And I think it's time for you to launch your own podcast. I truly do. There's a great audience out there, and you have so much to say. Lots of subject matters, right? So, any last words to particularly young women? I think
just be really in love with yourself first. Really know who you are. Love yourself as a woman. I do a seminar where I have a mirror in my seminar, and I have women look in the mirror and say, "What do you see? What do you see? Tell me." And when you start with love, and if there's things about what you're trying to work on, and you actually start working on yourself, it will exceed anything you could possibly want for yourself. It will come back to you. So be that person first. Keep true to who it is that you want and what you want in life. And always know that you deserve it. Always know that there is never a reason to be stuck in any bad situation.
And if you are, and we all do get into situations like that, be comfortable. The word is next. And don't feel bad about releasing yourself and another person.
Release them to a better life for them, a better life for yourself. And always know you deserve love. It's a number one thing.
Thank you so much.
It's very fun,
Barbara
today.
Summers. The book is Next, A Matchmaker's Guide to Finding Mr. Right, Ditching Mr. Wrong, and Everything in Between. And your website is?
Barbara@BarbaraMatchmaker.com. I made it pretty simple. It's good for them. But enjoyed it very much today, Anne.
My pleasure. Very fun. And I always like to leave my listeners with a gift. And so my gift for you this week is an incredible commencement address that was given by soccer superstar Abby Wambach. Olympic gold medalist, World Cup champion. She really changed the game of soccer, took it to a whole next level for women. Abby Wambach, and she was the commencement speaker this year at Barnard College in New York, and very powerful. Do yourself a favor and Google that speech and listen to her. But one of the things that she said was women Be the wolves in the world that society needs to bring balance to this world. And remember your wolf pack. Support your sisters. Go get them, everybody, and go power up. Thanks for listening, everyone, to Powering Up with Ann Doyle. I hope you'll subscribe and tell your friends about us. You can hear more about us on my website, www.andoyleleadership.com. We'd love to hear from you. My Twitter is at AnnDoyleLDR. Of course, there's a Facebook page, Powering Up Women. And our thanks to producer Robin Kinney and her fantastic Motor City Woman Studios here in a creative hotspot, the greater Detroit, Michigan, where she and we are amplifying the voices of women. So women of all generations, remember, find your unique powers and then put them to work. And remember to support your sisters. They are your most important allies, your wolf pack. Now let's all go power up.